in Kufayin Tes in the tour by Yud Gimel. So where it says, "Ov zeh hamayla hameis b'kshafa." This is you bring up the dead. So it sounds like you're bringing up the dead through kishuf. So you don't izeh hamaniach etzem chaya sheshma yadua b'soch piv v'hu medaber ela. That you take the bone of an animal and you put it in your mouth, and you're able to speak through this bone. So these came up in Tanakh, famously by the story of Shaul calling up Shmuel. It's unclear. There, the Rishonim argue about what exactly happened. And here, they argue about what exactly happened. B'dorish el ha-meisim. What does it mean to be dorish el ha-meisim? So this is really the discussion I want to have. So zesh mariv atzmo v'lon v'veis ha-kfaros. Somebody who starves themselves and goes to sleep in the v'veis ha-kfaros. Kedisha tishra alav ruach hatuma, so that the ruach hatuma will reside upon them. So that's really the question. That's just a quote from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which we don't have too much ramifications of today. But this idea of being Doresh El Hamisim, so what is that referring to? So this is also referred to in that Gemara in Sanhedrin, where it mentions there that if somebody does this, and that's a quote from the Gemara, Marav Atzel V'lad V'Beis HaKvaros, they starve themselves and then sleep in the Beis HaKvaros, sounds like with the intention of gaining from the dead that are there, getting the ruach hatuma from the dead people that are there. So that is a problem. That's what he says is aser, and sounds like is a chiyuv makos on it as well. So the Beis Yosef here, v'dorish el hamesim. So that's the second bold section in Yud Gimel Yud Aleph, right? Gimel Yud Aleph, yeah. So he quotes from this Gemara, V'chasav Rambam, Perek Yudav, Mehilchos Avodah Zarah, Al Zev, V'yish Achirim, Shehim Lovshim, Meluvash, Malvushim.
One second, V'chasav Rambam?
Two lines from the bottom.
Yeah.
V'chasav
Rambam. Right, he says there's other ways of doing this also. Those people that would wear specific clothing, and they would say specific things, U'makatrim Ketorian, and they would bring specific incense, V'yishenim Levadam, Kedei Sheyavo, Meis Ploni, V'yisaprim, O'b'chalam, B'chalam. And they would go to sleep so that the dead would come and give them something in a dream. So call it the Sheldavar, call it Usa Maisa Kadesha Yava Mes, Viyodiu Logan. That anybody who does an action in order so that the mace will come and tell him these things, so then he gets Malthus. So it sounds like doing those actions towards this. I mean, the Rambam won't say that it exists. The Rambam doesn't even think that Shmuel came up in order to speak to Shaul, that most of it was a dream. So he's going to say here also, so what then is the Isser of Dorish El HaMeisim? It's doing the actions towards this. Fine, that's the Rambam. So then comes this, that's simple enough. So comes the Hagos Maimoni and quotes from the Re'im. Who's the Re'im? The Re'im is Rav Elazar Mimetz. He wrote the Sefer Yireim, so one of the Chachmi Ashkenaz. So he says as follows, B'shem Re'im. So Shemashbia es Hachola Lashuv Elav La'achar Mises, that he would, if you make the chola, somebody while he is sick, you have him swear that he's going to come back to you after he's dead. Lahagid lo asher yishal, to answer a question which you ask. So ein zed dorish el hamesim. So that's not considered being dorish el hamesim. Meaning speaking to somebody while they're alive and making a request before they die, saying, "Hey, maybe you'll come back to me then." So that's okay. Why? She'enu dorish gufu shel meis elo l'rocho v'haruach elo l'rocho. You're not being dorish to the guf of the meis, rather just to its spirit. And v'haruach enu nikra meis, and the ruach isn't considered the dead. V'chein eshchan v'brachos. And so too we find this in Maseches Brachos. Where do we find in Maseches Brachos? So v'oso chasid shalom b'veis hakfaros. So there was this chasid that went to sleep in the Beis HaKvaros. Why did he go to sleep in the Beis HaKvaros? So it sounds like the Oso Chassid is referring to, I wrote it down, forgot to bring it, but I think we know which Tana this is, and it sounds like he gave away his last coin of tzedakah to somebody, his last coin that they owned to somebody as tzedakah, and his wife chased him out of the house. And this was on Rosh Hashanah, so Rosh Hashanah night he spent to the Beis HaKvaros. He ran, he had no place else to go, so he went to the Beis HaKvaros. V'shama haruchos mesaprim zuim zu. So while he's there, he heard the spirits talking to one another. And there's this whole story there that he heard them... He heard that one of them say, Nuke, maybe you check out, maybe God is whispering behind the pargo with some of his plans for the year. The other one says, well, I can't go. Why don't you go? You'll tell me what he goes. So the person comes back and says, yeah, I heard from behind the pargo that after the first rain is going to be a flood, and everybody who plants during the first rain is going to lose their crops. So this guy said, oh. Stock tip. So he didn't plant during the first. He waited until the second. He was able to make money that year. And then he comes back the second year. The Gemara says that why he came back the second year. So we'll get to that. He points out that question. But he came back the second year in a similar type of thing. That he went, but it was opposite. That if you planted during the second one, you got into trouble. If you planted during the first one, you'd be okay. So that's the second year. Everybody planted during the second year. And he planted during the first one. And at that time, his wife realized something was up. So, why is it that last year you did the second, this year you did the first, and there's disputes in the Gemara as to what the woman concluded. So anyway, so that's story number one. Oso Chassid, who went and stayed...
He got this information, excuse me, how?
He heard the dead people talking.
The dead people talking.
You know, from a Sarah was speaking with someone else out there. And so the Shmuel Azul Chatzirmav, and then we have this other issue. But Rabbi Nami Hassan also makes a comment over there that Shmuel, the famous Shmuel that we know and love from the Gemara. So Azul Chatzirmav, so he went to the Chatzirmav, Lishul Me Aviv Al Moos Hayisom. So he went and asked his father about the Moos Hayisom, meaning these orphans came and they were demanding money from him. No, I think the orphans deposited money by the father, and they wanted it back, and Shmuel didn't know anything about it, so he went to his father, found out where, to find out where it was. Now, there's an issue with that as well, and that is that Shmuel is a Kohen. Well, Shmuel is mentioned in the Gemara as being a Kohen, so how is he able to go and talk to the dead? So there's two approaches. One is the Marsha, and that Gemara says the whole thing is not true, meaning it's true, but it's all dreams. It's not that they actually went out. So if you can't really pass him with that Gemara. And it's also the Gra, the Vilna Gaon says that, no, it says he didn't go to the cemetery, rather he went to the L'chatzir Mavis. What is the L'chatzir Mavis? So it's some kind of crypt. Or it's not even a crypt. It might not even be where the dead are. It might just be like some kind of meditation area where there isn't actually tumas mace around. So one of those possibilities is perhaps how Shmuel was able to go and take part in this. So nevertheless, that Gemara in Brachos, that Yud Chasam Beis, there's a bunch of stories there about people having issues with the dead. And so here brings these two examples. So it says, aha, you see, it can't be us, because the Heilige Shmuel and the Heilige Chassid went and seemed to have these conversations. So how was it that they were allowed to have these conversations? So it must be that they weren't actually having conversations with the dead, but rather only having conversations with their spirits. Now that's a bit of a fine line, right? What does that mean? Now Shmuel, remember in the story with Shmuel and Shaul, so Shmuel actually came up. I mean, the description of the Navi is of Shmuel actually coming up. Here, he just seems to have some spiritual conversation, which perhaps is different. But there ain't passings this way. And that seems to be the psak that we're going to pass like this. So that just discussing the spirits and not with the guf itself is okay. And it sounds like there's a way of getting it, unless you're in the Rambam camp, if you're following the Vilna Gaon, right? So there's a way of getting a hold of the body itself.
Yeah.
That you're not allowed to do.
Right.
But just to get in touch with the spirits, so it sounds like that's okay. There is, he quotes one other, the Ghost Maimony itself, where he quotes the, he doesn't quote it here, quotes one other Gemara, that seems to indicate this as well. It's not in that Gemara in Brachos someplace else. It's escaping me right now. So near Shadas HaRaim, L'chalik, mean Dor, here it's L'chalik, so what's the Raim doing? He's distinguishing between Dorish Migufil Shalmeis, L'Dorish Mirucho Shalo Asra Torah. That he's distinguishing between darshing from the guf of the with the mace and just from the spirit, which there's no issue about. Ella she ella be Dorish Migufo, aval lo be Dorish Mirucho, v'uvda de oso chasid the ruach hayudorshim velo leguf. The Torah only asks is speaking with the guf and not with the rucho. And that story with that chas and the story with Shmuel have to do with being dorish with the spirit and not with the guf. V'lamad misham l'mashpia es hachola. That if you so we learn from here as well that if you make a chola take a shvua, that would be okay. The shari that came to rucho bekirbo because the ruach is still within it. So kishu mashpia the ruach u mashpia velo leguf. That when he takes this when he takes the shvua, I'll come back to you after I die. So he's taking a shvua with his ruach, he's not taking a shvua with his guf. That's the re'im. However, the...
But what about what's his name? Rav Shimon ben Yochai's son. But he doesn't remember Rav Shimon.
Yeah.
So he was dead. And he was behind the what's his name? He used to come there, he used to ask him questions.
Yeah, so what's the problem?
So he asked some questions. He answered a question. I mean, he was dead already. So the goof was there.
Oh, he used to go over there and see.
Now he was dead already, and the questions were asked.
I understand, but what he went to the.
No, he was dead, and the Talmidim would come.
Uh huh.
And that was the case where his wife found something on the body, and he said, "Don't worry about it, because this one thing happened, so that's it's not going to continue."
Uh-huh. I don't know. I did come across. There was less to find than I thought there would be. But I did come across an article in Chakira from I think 2 years ago. There's no date on it. By someone named Rabbi Moshe Tsuriel. You know, he says here he attended Torah Vidas in near Israel, and then 1958 made Aliyah. Well, so anyways, he has an article: should visiting the cemetery be encouraged or discouraged? So online, Ayin Sham Vitim Sanacha. So he doesn't really get into this Shulchan Aruch. He does point out one other important Gemara. There is a Gemara in the Sefes Tainis where it says that during that part of the minhag was that if you're doing one of these tanis programs in order to get it to rain, so at some point during the process you should visit the graves during that time. So why do they go to the graves? So the Gemara gives two answers. One of Rabbi Levi and Rabbi Chanina. One says it was to say that if we have no rain, we're as good as dead, and therefore it inspires you to daven a little harder. Once you realize that if it doesn't rain, we're going to end up like the rest of these people. And the other one says the reason is so that the dead should daven for us. So what's the nafkamina? The Gemara asks. The nafkamina is whether one would go to a Beis HaKfaros of non-Jews. Meaning if you just want to be scared by the dead people, so then a non-Jewish cemetery would work the same as a Jewish cemetery. Right? You could go protest the pipeline with all the rest of the guys in North Dakota. But if you... No. Listen to the news this morning? Okay. Joel Solden.
No, I know.
Yeah, all right.
I know what the background
is. All right, and then...
I don't know the details.
But I don't know the details either. Yeah, some Indian cemetery they want. All right, so you can go up there. And then the other issue, but that's one issue. The other issue... Oh, right, but if the issue is that you need the dead to daven for you, so that will only work with Jewish Beis HaKfaros and not with non-Jewish Beis HaKfaros. So he points out, though, that... that all the Rishonim passed in like the first reason, that there's a Yerushalmi that only gives one of the answers, namely the answer is to get inspired by the dead people, and all the Rishonim, meaning Rambam, Rif, Rush, that Chevra, they all passed in like that Yerushalmi, or the first answer in the Bavli, meaning that it has to do with being inspired as opposed to asking them to daven for you. And that's what part of the issue is of going to Beis HaKfaros and asking them to daven for you, and he leans towards not the great idea, at least I'll be Torah Sanigla, I'll be Torah Sanisla, and this certainly are sources for such things.
So the minhag of visiting the parents, which I'm not able to do because my parents are buried in St. Louis, but if you could, around Rosh Hashanah?
Right, so that's mentioned. Is there a Mishnah Berurah, Chilek Vav, up there?
There is Mishnah Berurah, I don't know.
Is there a part six?
There's little guys that are faded out there in submission.
Bunch of haze. Bug, Dalit.
Bug. Bug. You want a bug?
I'm sorry, Bays, Dalit. All Bays, Bug, you know, it's a Bays.
Dalit and Bug look alike often.
That's right, that would be. Wait, Rego.
Yup.
Olive. Again, Olive and Hay.
It's okay.
What about those little guys right there?
Which?
Next to the big sitter, off just to the right of the big sitter, there's like three that are just the same. Aren't those Mr.
Bays, Hay, Dalit?
Oh, sorry. Let's see what this is. Right
over. You got one. Okay.
Yeah, Joe.
That's the one.
Bilchos Tefillin.
One more.
Okay. So I think we should...
Scattered to the four winds. He's just
another librarian.
No, we do have a librarian.
I wrote down some notes and I forgot the notes, so I'm missing the spot here. Yom Kippur. The beginning of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. There it is. So, do this just probably. Oh, I can do it now. So, the Ramah in Tafkuf Pei Aleph Sif Dalet in Arachayim. So, in the preparations for Rosh Hashanah, it says, Machafsim is Tafkuf Rosh Hashanah, that you should shower and change your clothing on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, Noagim Lipfel Ver Rosh Hashanah Mishim Kari, that you go to the mikvah, Vyesh Makomos Noagim Lelich Al Hakfaros. And there are places where they are nohek to go to the Beis HaKfaros, and they give tzedakah to the poor people. So he actually points out, he says, sometimes when the Rama says there are places that have the minhag, it doesn't necessarily mean that the Rama likes the minhag. He says there are people that do such things. But the Mishnah Berurah certainly speaks about it and doesn't seem to come out strongly against it. He just points out where he says, and tefillah is accepted there. But you shouldn't give your tefillahs to the mace. You shouldn't daven towards the mace. You should daven to Hashem that He should give you mercy. The merit of the tzaddikim, shochnei afar, that live in the dust. Before you give make those hatchinot, before you make the request, you should give those tzedakah. You shouldn't go to the same kever twice in a day. You've heard such a thing. I'm not sure what that was referring. I don't know what that was referring to. But anyways, so that's the Mishnah Berurah's take on it. There, those are even more than that, go even further and say that you could ask the mason to go daven on your behalf, and then so let's say you should even go ahead and do this. So that's the range of possibilities that are out there. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's probably. So you can take a look at the Shulchan Aruch itself. Now we'll just look through the rest of the Shulchan Aruch on this simon. Oh. I've heard of someone say the Shulchan Aruch. There was a quick bedtime retreat, so I accidentally took the wrong volume. So anyways, Kuf Ayin Tes, at least now I could point out where we are and be on the same.
Yeah, the papers. Yeah.
Okay.
Paid out.
So in Kuf Ayin Tes,
alright,
so Kuf Ayin Tes, Yud Gimel. Right, so Yud Gimel, the bottom of this page. Here's Dorish Ala Mesim, Zesh Shemariv Atzmo, Velet Vesakvaros Gadesh Tishralav Ruach Atuma. So what does it mean to be Dorish Ala Mesim? That means that somebody who fasts themselves, they starve themselves, and then they sleep in the Vesakvaros, so that the Ruach Atuma will rest upon them. So that's, it sounds like, what's Aser. What's Aser is to go and do that. That I want to get the Ruach Atuma. So it's, I'm not really talking, from the words of the Beis Yosef, it's not really talking about davening, it's not really talking about having discussions, it's talking about imbibing within oneself the Ruach HaTumah, whatever it is that that means. So the Shach here comments, right here on the side, Tesvav, so Nimsa B'tshuvas Maharach Al Hanodrim Leilach Beis HaKvaros Ktsas Hayanir Kedor Shalamisim. So he suggests from this Tshuvas Maharach, I don't know who that is, but those who take Nedarim in order to go to the Beis HaKvaros, so it seems like they might be possibly being Dorish Ala Mesim. So that's what's quoted as being the problem. It's quoted that the Shach quotes a debate, that there is this Tshuvas Maharach that's not happy with this. V'abach kasav l'kama n'sof simen reishit zayin shekvar hichziku b'minog zeh v'ein iser v'davar ayin shav, that this minog already exists, and there's no iser within this. So again, you can say that the Shevachol, oh, there's a minog, everybody does it, the Maharach does it, whatever. On the other hand, he goes to look at it as, well, you know, there's a million people do it, so all right, you know, we'll allow people to. So I guess there's no iser, but it's not something to be advocated. So where the shaf is actually, and the shaf also is quoting two opinions and not giving his own. So where he's actually coming down within this debate is questionable. But here is the shach that is pointed to with regards to this debate. Is it appropriate or inappropriate to go to the Beis HaKvaros? Rabbi Reisman's shir, I listened to it a couple of weeks ago already, but he commented that that there was somebody who, one of the Rebbeim in Torah Vidas left to go to Israel for a week. Why? Because it was his father's yurt site, he wanted to go, but to the kever by the yurt site. So he said that Rav Tam kind of like mused out loud, that seems like a long way to go. To that's, you know, you're going to give up a whole week of learning in order to go spend an afternoon by the Beis HaKvaros. I mean, implying that he didn't think that it was appropriate to do that. But okay, that's yes. Yesh. There are people clearly that that do that. Okay.
Are you recording?
Yes.
Okay. So the suspicion is that you're the reason people don't like is because you're asking the dead to intervene on your behalf.
No, well, that's one possibility.
Is that you were inspired?
So
by
that's
that?
One possibility. We could do this now. Moshe has a tshuva on this. Moshe has tshuva in Chelek Or Chaim Chelek Hey. Sif. One of these tshuvas that are very long and have about 8 different topics in it. Simon Mem Gimel, Sif Vav. So in Sif Vav, he has this discussion about which is better or which is worse, davening to Mesim or davening to Malachim. The first half of it, he discusses the issue of the Piyutim that have that seem to discuss davening to angels, Machdisei Rachim, a couple of things that we say during the Yom Narayim.
Some
say and some don't say, right? And then he goes on and says that, and what about davening to Mason? And he quotes from this shach. He says, this is actually one of those sections where it was added in, because you see there's big letters and little letters. So He also says, those that prohibit making requests from Malachim, it might be that it's mutter to ask, make requests from the Shabbos. There's reasons for both. So he says, the Neshavos they don't have a chiyuv tefillah anymore, so why are you giving them a chiyuv tefillah? I mean, maybe it's inappropriate to do that. But that maybe to request of them, maybe you could daven in their schus, but to make requests of them to daven for you, maybe that should be usher, just like it's usher to daven to malachim. That maybe they're worse. Because they don't have a job. Meaning, it could be that the malachim's job is to do this kind of thing, but the people that are dead, it's not their job. So what are you doing making these kinds of requests from them? Even if they... if you give it over, that maybe they don't know about this stuff. Vegam yishtar lomar, that maybe it's better. That's better than davening for malachim. Why? That they understand what it's like, that it's difficult living in this world. As that Gemara Brachos seems to imply, that they also had tsar once upon a time. Maybe they would find it within themselves to go and daven to Hashem and remove those tsars from us. Maybe they, even without that, maybe they feel the pain of their children, they feel the pain of Israel. Maybe the malachim don't feel it in the same way. I mean, malachim are malachim, they're not people. So maybe these people would have more reason. So what does Rav Moshe say? So hence, we have a machlokes, right? Then he goes on and quotes the Shach. He quotes from, the idea of the Rambam and the Hagos Maimonides, which he quoted. He quotes here at the end, he says, Avaladina pasuk beis Yosef b'din Isra halab v'vadei b'shulchan aruch te'inu ela b'maisa shemarev atzmo v'lam beis HaKvaros. The way it's described is to do that. To fast and then to be in the Beis HaKvaros. That's what it seems like is going to be the Isra. But the other things would then be okay. And certainly, and this whole idea which we're going to read next about being mashpia v'chola, he thinks that that's okay as well. Yeah.
We have a thing with Rachel being mavaka on her children.
Yes.
Right?
So that's a little... Yes, right, but you're honestly davening to her. The bigger question is probably Kalev. I mean, it talks about in the Gemara that Kalev went to the Maris HaNachmei in order to daven their behalf. Yeah, so in this article he says that, he makes a few examples of that and says those are all gadatas. Now, why he's so sure that those are gadatas and the Gemara in Brachos is not a gadata is unclear, except for the Gemara in Brachos does seem to be having a halachic discussion, sort of. I mean, in the midst of all those stories, it's having discussions about whether you would give a spade, about things about having a spade and things like that. So it isn't those stories are brought in a halachic context, as opposed to the stories about Kali, which is brought in purely in a gadic context. So it could be that we don't paskin like it's just a gadic, which we don't paskin like. But yes, there certainly are stories out, you know, certainly the issues with Rachel and Rasophia, etc. There are, by the way, other issues which you have to work out, and that is, if you're going to go and daven, why is it that loy l'rush? I mean, it sounds like that should be a problem of, and it's one thing that maybe you're davening to that person, that's okay, but generally in the basic pharaohs, there's some other people around as well. So that's another issue to be concerned about when going and, davening by the basic pharaohs, but that's not really, our topic. Okay.
No, it's a struggle to say about me. Can you go ask your dead relative?
Right.
Go ask your grandfather. Your grandfather's no longer in the world. I have a problem. Zayd, I got a problem.
Right.
Can you help me? If he was alive, he would help you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, can you ask him if he's dead? Can he put in a word? Is right. that called Darish Elamasi?
Right. Right. So, I tell you, his second section, which I didn't really get to read through, section one is whether you're allowed to go with Davin and read the Torah.
Is that called Davin? If he was alive, you would go with this. If he was your father, you know, okay. You know.
Section two is whether the deceased can hear what people tell them at the graveside.
So that's what I have.
So I want to take a look at it.
No, I asked. But not that's all.
All right, so...
No, because I have an answer for me. I don't want to help.
Okay, so the issue of lahashpia es hachola, lashuvi lov la'achar misa. So this idea of making the chola take a shvua to come back to you after they're dead, la'agid lo es asher yisha lo so mutter, see that's mutter, v'yish matirim afu la'achar moso. And the Ramah says you can even matir after the person's dead. Means we didn't do this, but Beis Yosef quotes that part, that Gemara as being Dori Shalomesim as being only after dead. And the Ramah says, who says? I mean, that Gemara sounds like it. I mean, Shmuel did it while he was still alive. And it's all, those Gemaras are all brought in the same Sefer Yerayim. So the Rama says he thinks that it's okay. If he doesn't ask for the guf of the mace to come back, but only the spirit of the mace to come back, so the Rama says it's okay.
He's left to ask the person to make him swear that he'll come back and tell him something. So
the Rama is saying that you can even make so you can't make a person, he's not going to swear. You can even make the request even after the person's dead. I mean, that's not considered the Rosh
Hashanah.
Right, so now clearly you're getting into a fine line of, okay, and there is, the Gemara talks about how does one get to meet Eliyahu and Navi? There's something about fasting, things like that. So that's sounding a lot like some of the things that sounds like it's prohibited
here.
It's
clearly the Gro's wife. The Gro's wife and her friend, she had a good friend, they used to go collect tzedakah together, the Gro's wife, and they made a pact, they shook on it.
Yes.
Big deal, right?
Yeah,
and whoever would die first would come back to the other one and say what it's like on the other side. And the other lady passed away first.
Right.
And she came back to the Gro's wife, and she said, we can't tell you, But I can tell you that whatever you do, good, whatever you do, even a little nakuda like that, you get big stuff.
Right.
And then she gave an example where...
Right, that's the Gemara, the third Uraim, the third Gemara that the Uraim quotes, which I forgot before, and I remember. It's a Gemara of Moed Katlin, where the two Amoraim are having a discussion, and one of them is not doing so well. The other says, well, at least come back and tell me, you know, what happened. So the person, so he came back, the Amora came back and told him, and he was asked, so how painful was it when you died? And that's the Gemara says, it's like taking a hair out of milk. That's that Gemara. That was the response, like taking care of the milk. So he says, so would you come back? So would you come back and would you want to come back or something? And he says, No, because the fear of that is worse, is so bad, it's not worth it. he doesn't like the fear of dying, but the death itself isn't painful. That's what Gemara Moedatim says. So there you see, so he asked him while he was still alive, he would come back. So that's what the Dark Elijah says. Yeah, but that's no riot. You could only ask him. I mean, those other, Shmuel seems to have asked him after the person died. So he thinks that that's why the Ramah here says that he thinks that it's okay. Okay, just to finish off this simon, Tesva we really did already, and that's the sugi of Ocheza Sainayim. All these magic strips, if you're just doing it for a fake, so that's prohibited. Vayidei Sefer Yetzira Mutter. Now, to create something through the Sefer Yetzira, he says that's okay. Why is that okay? So I actually came across this in First Seder. I gave a couple of weeks ago a shir on the topic, plus we do, for every parak of Chumash we do a halachic topic in each, so we talked about why the Har Kumei Mitzrayim. So Rav Asher Weiss he's got the same issue. He's got to come up with a halachic topic for every parsha, even the ones that don't seem to have much to do with halacha. So the Har Kumei Mitzrayim, he talks about these issues of magic. He talks about why should it be okay to use the Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah is to create a golem, is to create living beings. That's what that's referring to. So he says, it works. I mean, that's the way that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. You're not using the black magic to do that. You're using white magic to do that. You just have to know what you're doing. In which case, he says that it's okay. Now, Ocheza Sainayim, he says, is a problem. And then we discuss Kaliso. So what is that? Where does that leave us with regards to magic shows? So nowadays, the trend seems to be that it's okay. Now, in Rai Reisen's shir, he seemed to say it was a problem. He said, the only limud tzchus that I have for all these stuck organizations that do it is that Rav Moshe suggests in a tshuva that perhaps it's okay because people know that it's not magic, and they really know that it's an illusion. That might have been 40, 50 years ago. I think the trend is now is that it's all about trying to figure out how the person did it. I mean, that's... I went to... a couple of years ago, I went to an American, when I was in New York, so America's Got Talent was doing their shows. So I went to one of the nights, and I mean, that's what it's about. It's about trying to figure out how they do it. It's not about being shocked by the magic. It's like, what's the chop of how they do it? And
if you know how it's done, the joy is seeing how their presentation is.
Right. There's even a show... Now, can you trick Penn and Teller?
Right.
The show is that Penn and Teller sit there and they watch you do a magic trick.
I've actually seen that.
And if they can figure out how you did it, so then you lose. If they can't figure out how you do it, so then you win.
Right.
I mean, that's the hop. Everybody knows it's not real magic. It's just, so
Teller says something. Does Teller say anything?
They don't tell you. They tell the magician that they know how to do it.
Teller never speaks.
So a couple of more things. So Maisa Shadim Asr Vishmi Shamatu Lishal Vahem Al Haganeva. So you have these Shadim, so it's Asr, and there are those that matter it. Who are those that matter it? So that's the Rush who matters it. Why? Because you're not actually making use of the Shadim, you're just getting advice from the Shadim. So that's why the Rush thinks that it's okay. So if you run into a Shad that might be witness to a crime, so you could rely on that Rush to be making.
Is Shadim are all over. It's like when you wave your hand through the air, that you're pushing away the Shadim.
It's like those dust clouds. Moons in the air. I don't see them.
This Ramah continues. Vayidei Hashiva Shemashpio Some Vayidei Shmos Yish Matir Mechol Inim. Those which you make them swear based on the names, those that matter it. I don't really know what this is referring to. Mikol Makom Rova Oskim Bazeinah Niftar Mehem B'Shalom Al Kain Shomer Nashi Yerchav Mehem. You should stay away. It doesn't work out for most people, so just keep away from them. Okay, Yedzayim. We actually did in the previous siman. It's a similar. It talks about the same thing that those who set the table Yimine Michael Baleil Hamila Va'Omer Shulam Mazal Atinok. Say that's for the mazel tinuk. That's a problem. He's referring to in the previous siman where it talked about leaving scraps on the table because that's like a form of avodah zarah. That's like a dark gemara to leave some stuff behind. So to do that, this sounds like it has something to do with a vachnat. But to do it this way, that you're not allowed to do. I mean, when the kids come over to say Shema, make sure they take all the food with them. You shouldn't. I'll leave any on the table, and then there's also the katar bais be'esiv sheish lo reach tov yish misha oser elam kein oser kein kedei lahaser reach ra. If you shouldn't use some kind of branches that add a good smell. You shouldn't do that for some reason, unless you're trying to get rid of Reach Ra. And then Hamakir L'Shed L'Chavero V'L'Kofav L'Asos Kirtzono Chai Mishum Oved Avodas Kochavim Halomim Min Ha'am Goshi Afilu Divrei Torah Chai Misa. Okay, so don't give any Ketores to any Shedim. That seems like you're doing Avodah Zarah and learning from the Amgoshi. Not sure what that's referring to. Afilu Divrei Torah, so also with that you'd be Chayav Misa, plus that would be being involved with Avodah Zarah. Okay. Next week, we'll get into tattoos. Okay.